While I prepared my cot, Peter strutted round the workshop, picking up pieces of equipment from the surrounding benches and testing their weights in his hand. He then gave the handle of the press a forcible yank, scraping the flat wooden plate against its marble bed. Finally, he contented himself with the mirrors along the walls. Muttering to himself, he paced back and forth like a peacock, admiring his reflection. He had a handsome face, penetrating brown eyes, thick brows, and the makings of a beard. He obviously took pride in his appearance, for among the hand-copied books and writing instruments we carried in from the sledge were several pouches and horns full of ointment and dried herbs. He ran a finger across his teeth with a paste of powdered sage and pinched a few spots before settling down on a bed of blankets by the fire. Almost immediately, he was asleep. I watched and waited, and then, when I was certain he would not stir, padded lightly over to the chest and knelt beside it. The remaining firelight picked out yet more ghoulish shapes from its sides. Red shadows flickered over the two snakes, which courted and kissed, coming together in a seductive embrace. Detecting a vague rustling movement inside the box, I placed my head closer to the lid. Something was alive within it. A soft sound like a breeze whispered in my ears. Cautiously, I ran my finger along the bumps and warts of wood until my hands collided with the snakes. My heart, a cannon of excitement, drowned out Fist's previous warning, and I coiled my fingers round the cool metal domes of their heads. Carefully, I tried to prise them apart, avoiding the fangs, which looked sharp enough to bite. Nothing happened. There were no catches or springs to release the locking mechanism. The lid was clamped shut. There was no way in. All the same, I could hear the faint hissing sound inside, beckoning me closer. The fire snapped suddenly beside me, and I jumped. The movement must have disturbed Peter, for he murmured in his sleep and reached out a slumbering hand to catch me. But it was the name Christina on his lips, and not mine, and he was quickly asleep again. His breathing deepened into a pig-like grunt. Nevertheless, I could not risk incurring the wrath of Fist so soon. His presence seemed to linger in the house like a menacing shadow, a suspicion I couldn't shake off. Remembering the strange way he had looked at me, as though I, and not Herr Gutenberg, were now the object of his quest, I returned to my cot and lay for some hours awake, my mind full of restless, moving thoughts. What, I wondered, lay inside the chest? Finally, the thief of sleep overtook me, and, like the snow falling outside, dreams began to settle.